Basement.
You are now listening to Basement Radio.
Welcome back, folks.
Am I on the mic too?
Oh yeah,
you're both on the mic.
All right,
we are here at the glorious Los Angeles Art Book Fair.
LA Art Book Fair. Is it LA as the official term?
LA, I believe, is the official term.
Okay.
There's a lot of wonderful, beautiful people here.
We've never done a live show before.
This is a live show in a new location.
Well, we do a live radio show, but we don't let people watch
us. No, no one can see us. No one can hear us.
So you have the privilege of seeing our faces.
Look at all those. Look at all of our wonderful friends out there. There's so many people out there. Can they hear us? I don't know if anybody can hear us.
But anyway, this is a special edition of Basement Radio where every week we watch a VHS from our collection.
Yes.
And we program them around monthly themes. And so we're doing a very special version of that this week. And that is, Mitsu, do you want to, are you trying to communicate with someone?
Yes, I'm trying to communicate with all the wonderful people here who are with us today.
I was trying to say something.
Yeah.
So every week we watch a VHS from our collection based around a monthly theme. And our theme this month was Sometimes They Run Fast.
This is a zombie themed month where the zombies run in different speeds throughout the film. I believe we started off this series with the glorious 1980 something film.
1980 what?
1981. It was not too long before I was born. Mm. I'm an old man. I'm a decrepit old man.
Oh, that's when you came out of the womb.
I came out of the womb and went straight to the movie theater to see Barry
Oldman. You went straight to a retrospective movie. So this is directed by Andrea Bianchi. It was in Italian. It was called, let me see if I can say this right. Le Notti del Terrore.
Yeah, you didn't say that right, but it's okay.
It was also released under, I don't know if you know this, Mitsu, but it was released under the title Zombie 3.
I did know that, yes.
But before Lucio Fulci came back to claim that title with his own Zombie 3.
Fulci lives, folks. Fulci lives.
but this movie is fucking bananas. And I feel...
It runs the gamut of familiar... Family, not familiar to me. I can't speak to everyone else.
Familiar, you mean related to family dynamics.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you want to say something more about that?
No. You have me. You keep going. It's great. It's going great.
You're going to put the incest part on me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so basically, I actually had a different read on this film. I thought it was more of like an Etruscan terrorism.
So, can you please elaborate on
means. There's a scientist studying an ancient crypt near this sort of like mansion that's in a part of Italy called Frascati, which is like 20 miles outside of Rome.
Okay.
Or at least I've heard. I don't know. I've never been to Italy. But there's...
I've been to Italy. I speak fluent Italian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Check it out. Mangia.
That's, oh, yeah. Wow.
Right? Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah.
Mamma mia.
So he's digging through these archaeological sites in a crypt near a mansion. So right there from the very start is like this sort of Roman imperialism of Etruscan land. Right, it's like the mansion built on top of
the
ruins.
Sure, of course, yeah. All the best mansions are built on ruins, by the way. I don't know if you know that. I read that somewhere, and I'm pretty sure that's 100% true.
And then these like sort of yuppie couples show up from Rome.
Yeah.
And they inhabit the house, but But something happens in the crypt, and we don't quite see it, but he's attacked by zombies.
He's
attacked by zombies, but we don't know his fate.
Not yet.
Mm. And they're very slow-moving zombies with very silly special effects. And I think we should point out that the makeup effects artist for this film is someone named Gianetto De Rossi.
Oh, yeah.
Is that how you say him?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And he is...
Well, you weren't moving your hands around enough, though, when you said that. So you were only...
Well, it is radio, so...
That's true. Well, the thing is, that's the thing with Italian. You should be able to wave your hands around so loudly that he could be picked up on radio.
Well, I thought maybe someone calling you, too.
Not sure. 1 second, 2 seconds.
Oh, you're actually going to take it. Oh, interesting. Okay. So... Do you want to be my guest?
I'll be your guest for a moment.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Benton with Dale Zine Radio.
Amazing, Benton, from an in-house guest, as they would say.
In-house guest.
Have you ever seen Burial Ground?
I have not seen Burial Ground. I have been to Italy. I have seen Fulci.
Amazing.
Yep.
You saw him in person?
Well, actually, my friend Mikey, who has a record shop, Fulci comes into the record shop because he lives in South Florida.
Amazing.
But I've seen the band Fulci many times. Yeah.
Wait.
Okay, you're back.
That's amazing.
Yes. A friend of mine just went to go see Fulci also.
Mm.
And I hear it's fantastic. You know, there's a... This is not Fulci related.
Because you're talking about the band.
Correct.
Okay, not the director.
No, Lucio Fulci's been dead for about 25 years.
I just want to point it out. I mean, he did make zombie films. It wouldn't be on... Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I think that's I think that's why there's so many people who are vying to be filmmakers of the zombie genre, because I think it automatically entitles you to, like, an afterlife scenario.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about these zombies, like what they look like, because we got a lot of, when we screened it at the basement, we got a lot of enthusiastic laughter.
Michael! Big shout out to Michael.
Because the special effects are just so wild. So like,
I love special effects, especially when they're involving people named Michael.
Yeah. Oh, so there is this, so this guy, De Rossi, he did,
That means of the rose, right?
No.
Oh.
He got really sort of notorious, infamous is the right word to use, for doing a film called Emmanuel in America. Have you seen that?
I know a person named Emmanuel, and I saw them in America. Does that count? Okay.
Well, it's a Joe D'Amato film.
Okay.
And there is a notorious, like, sort of snuff sequence in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very, very graphic. I think it might be one of the most graphic scenes ever filmed.
What happens in the scene?
I can't tell you.
Well, for the listeners at home, can you explain what snuff is?
Oh, it's a simulated death scene.
So, I don't think it's actually simulated.
Well, no, okay, this isn't real stuff.
Oh.
This is just a scene that was so graphic that it triggered a lot of censorship alarms that went off at the time in Italy. And people had to, like, investigate it and make sure that no one was actually harmed. But the reason I brought it up is that's how good of a special effects artist was. He kind of, like, sold the scene.
Absolutely.
And it was right at that time period, like in the late 70s, where they were moving away from Western, sort of spaghetti Westerns and exploitation and towards horror.
Sure.
And so he started his career in that. He did, like, a Django movie.
Django, of course, yes.
Which also,
Jamie Foxx, love Jamie Foxx.
Which, by the way, I didn't know this, but Mariangela Giordano, otherwise known to American audiences, Mary Jordan. Oh, everyone in this film, I don't know if you noticed, has an American pseudonym.
Yes, I did notice that.
Okay, so Mary Jordan, as we'll call her, as the heathens we are, she was in a Django film.
Which one?
It was Django.
Was it Django Strikes Again?
No, it was. Ooh,
I'm really not. I'm not trying to say. I'm not a mean-spirited person in nature, but I really do hope we see one person walk into this glass wall during our show. I don't want them to receive severe injury. I just want to see just like a slight mishap. Like, oops, I'm embarrassed.
Oh, really?
Hi, Sunil.
Well, we have that happen at the SF Art Book Fair, and it was a full-on, like, bird hitting a glass.
I remember that. That was sad.
It was like someone splatted against it as if
it was like a curse.
A blue jay.
Someone had cursed that event.
This is great, dude. We just got served wine.
We just got wine. I wish every time I sat down, someone just automatically handed me a glass of alcohol.
Well, when we usually do this show in our own native San Francisco, at a place called Radio Valencia, which, by the way, it's on Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. live.
We love live.
We don't edit anything.
No.
And Mitzi says a lot of embarrassing things.
You're embarrassed. I'm loud and proud.
Just so you know, so if you want the unfiltered, uncensored version of this show, tune in to our real deal.
The real deal.
But we're very honored to be guests on Dale Zine Radio.
Dale.
But
that's how you're supposed to say it, bro.
So Gianetto. Oh, before we move on to the special effects in this film, did you know that this guy like actually made it to the big leagues?
Gianetto
De Rossi.
And what does that entail?
So not only did he get nominated for a BAFTA for The Last Emperor.
Oh.
But he worked on like a bunch. He worked on Dune and Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, and the worst Conan movie.
Do you want to guess what effects he did in both of those movies?
Is it the poop scene?
Okay, so he did the fetus-shaped Spice Guild Navigator in Dune. And then he did the Dagoth monster suit, the one that's worn by Andre the Giant in Conan the Destroyer.
Right, sure.
So, anyway, kind of a big deal for him to break out of the Italian exploitation market.
Honestly, you know, I've seen The Last Emperor a whole bunch of times. That was directed by Bernardo Bertolucci.
Yeah.
I said that correct.
Wow, so we're so fortunate to have you here for the
You know, if the reason why people like being my friends is basically they don't have to go to the UN building. They just have to be friends with me. That's what I bring. All cultures. I'm like Katamari Damacy, but for culture. You ever play that video game, Katamari Damacy?
Yeah.
You just roll up. Everywhere I go, culture just sticks itself to me. Okay, and everyone else, there's the benefit of that. It's my burden.
Okay. Well, almost like the burden that Sylvester Stallone experienced. So I just want to bring up another draw. I'm really into this guy, De Rossi. I know you're trying to move on to personal stories. Do you remember that scene in Rambo 3 where he gets shot with a bullet and you see it exit?
Yes, I do.
So that is like a special technique that De Rossi invented, which he like after that scene happens, the gunpowder to cauterize the wound.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that is like a rigged device which caused a flame to burst from both Stallone's stomach and his back at once.
I see.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, no, I remember that effect. It's pretty impressive.
And then that led, I was reading on a fan site, that led to Stallone wanting to work with him on Daylight. Daylight is filmed in Rome, by the way, in Cinecittà.
Daylight is filmed in Rome?
The Bridge and Tunnel movie.
That movie so bad. It's really depressing, too. There's that scene where he just like leaves somebody behind to just die, and they just like linger on that shot. She's like, oh, see you later. I don't know. It's so depressing.
Yeah, so that Bridge and Tunnel movie was filmed in Cinecittà, and it's the reason that Sage ends up meeting Lucio Fulci. And then they collaborate together for a while.
Okay.
Sage Stallone was kind of a huge Lucio Fulci fan before he passed.
Rest in peace, Sage. That is Stallone's son.
Yeah. I want to talk more about Burial Ground, but maybe this movie has amazing music, amazing synthy music. Can we find some of it?
Yes.
Like I think it sort of starts to bridge the gap between the kind of Fulci concert scores that were very much like full live bands creating a sort of psychedelic and moving synth era of zombie scores, almost and not as far as John Carpenter, but the kind of the bridge between old Goblin scores and John Carpenter scores. So we want to play some of that because it's very 80s Italo zombie.
Okay.
Oh, now. Did you turn it off?
No, you're fine.
Okay, there we go. All right, so here we go. We have This is a track. This is off the Burial soundtrack. Little electronic action here from the Burial soundtrack. So here we go.
You gonna play it?
I show you lightning. It binds the heaven.
Back.
All right, so that was
Mitzi. I'm not gonna let you live that one down.
So that was
Mitzi's
from the
fucking trolling you. That is not Burial Ground soundtrack.
That's the Burial Ground soundtrack.
That song came out 20 years after, more than that, 30 years.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what was the song in
that
the Burial.
That was Burial, or as Sarah would say it, Burial. It was a Burial Ground. She can't say Burial.
She can't say Burial. It's pretty funny.
That was very cute.
We spent a good chunk of my time on that.
Anyway, so I really want to talk about, I think, everyone's favorite character in Burial Ground, which is played by Pietro Barzocchini, otherwise known as Peter Bark.
Peter Bark.
That's his stage name.
That's not a name. I swear to God. Wait, what's your name again, sir?
Yeah.
Christopher.
We got a guest in the studio, Christopher.
Hi. There's so many people we know outside. Hi.
What's up? Hey, I'm well. How are you? Okay.
Pretty good. Have you seen Burial Ground?
I watched it last night. I've seen it 14, 15 times. Yeah.
Amazing. Real fan.
Really love Peter
Bark. Oh, Peter Bark, yeah. Everyone's favorite.
Pietro Barco.
You really got to get up in this mic.
Really? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. There we go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like a 80s hip-hop mic. You got to, like, swallow it.
I know. I know how KRS-One feels.
Yeah. That's why he used to do, like, the fist around the mic.
Yeah. I actually saw KRS-One live once, and it was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life. The reason was, he would start playing...
We need you on our regular...
He started performing a song, and then, like, 30 seconds in, he would stop. He'd be like, stop the music! And then he would start, like explaining what the song was about. I'm like, bro, can you keep finish the song?
Let people interpret it on their own.
No, it'd be, that's the sound of the police. Now stop. Let me tell you, the thing with police is, I'm like, bro, can you finish a song before you explain it to me? It's like seeing a movie. Yeah. Imagine going to the movies with fucking Siskel and Ebert, and they motherfucking tell you to stop playing the movie so they can tell you what's happening. Like, it's the worst. It's like being in a movie theater and someone's talking the entire time, but at a fucking concert, and it's like the person in the movie. It's the worst. Oh, Bob Dylan. I love Bob Dylan. I love early Bob Dylan. Yeah. Up until the Rolling Thunder Review, Bob Dylan. Although I do like some of the Love, like the Time Out of Mind stuff. But
what's the record with Shooting Star and Not Dark Yet? That record's
Not Dark Yet. Well, Not Dark Yet is off of Street Legal or what?
1999.
Yeah.
That record's really good.
That's a good record.
The record with Shooting Star.
It has
like a shoe on the cover.
Oh my God.
I got it.
Okay. But yeah, no.
I was going to say, Teen KRS won't do that. If that would do it. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it goes off the map. And like,
yeah, but the thing is, but at least with Dylan, right? Okay, there are moments where he could, like, there's like a space.
This is Omer's Basement Radio, by the way. Omer's, we haven't talked about the movie in like 15 minutes.
Where Teardrops Fall? That's a banger.
It is, but again, I wouldn't want to have Bob Dylan explain.
Hear us out there. We're free.
Oh, are we here? Oh.
Dude, we can say whatever we want.
Oh, my God.
Scaling it back this whole time.
Wait, but Sarah's saying.
Oh, now you can hear me?
Oh, damn it. We were about to get real up in this situation.
There was some freedom in not being heard.
I know. Story of my life.
Yeah. So we got.
We're just generating too much.
Just getting really excited. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so the 25-year-old at the time, Pietro Barzocchini, otherwise known as Peter Bark, was cast as the young boy Michael to circumnavigate the Italian laws restricting the use of children in film, which just to me blows my mind that in 81 in Italy there were laws about children, just in general.
I mean,
I don't remember, as a young child in Italy, I don't remember any laws.
Yeah. Seriously.
Or the times that I read about it.
Yes. Child labor laws, really, they're a real hindrance on society. Am I right, folks?
Yeah. And so anyway, so since there are scenes not only of violence with Peter Bark's character, with Michael, but also of incest with his mom.
Right, yes.
Do you want to describe do you want to describe the famous, this is pretty early on in the film.
Yeah, of course.
So he walks in, start with that one where he walks in on his parents.
So the scene is set up with Michael's parents. They've arrived in this beautiful, like, villa, and they start getting a little frisky, as, you know, parents do. Mm. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the throes of early...
I think everyone's having sex, too, all through the couple.
Everyone's having sex. And then all of a sudden, while they're beginning this ritual, Michael just very slowly opens the door, right? But then he stands outside the door that he just opened for about... 5 seconds. Now,
this is like zombie foreshadowing.
By the way, I don't know about you guys, but usually when I open the door, I don't wait. I just go walk. Although, you know, maybe I should start doing that. From now on, every door I walk into, I'm going to stand outside for about 5 seconds before I enter the room.
You're not really like an edger.
No. Wow. We're going. Okay. Great. Anyway.
Wait. They can't hear us.
I'm pretty sure everyone just heard you say the word edger. But that's okay. This is the LAR Book Fair.
So
things
there,
get wild here.
He's slowly.
Christopher, what are your thoughts on edging at the LAR Book Fair?
I feel like the LA Art Book Fair is a really magnificent exercise in edging. I feel like most of the participants, the vendors, the client, I feel like everyone's just kind of edging. I don't think anyone's getting through the door frame, if you will.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not giving climax. Yeah.
It's a slow burn.
No shame. No,
that's why it's good.
Everyone needs to live their life.
But I think that in this particular scene, it is. In this does he need to know something from you?
No, I just love Brandon is wearing a shirt that's
very easily distracted.
That's
a reason to be distracted. The shirt that Brandon is wearing 100 feet away from us.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying he's wearing a. It's not just that it has his name on it, but it says Brandon Marathon. That's amazing.
All right. So anyway,
he's my friend.
But just describe these three scenes, dude. So there's three scenes of this movie that are important.
So really, as the parents are about to engage in, their throes of passion, Michael basically stands outside and then walks to the door and then just stares at them and then basically tries to kind of finagle a threesome scenario with his mother and father. Very strange.
He just wants to get in bed. I don't know if he's going that far.
I'm pretty sure that's what he was aiming
for. His mom
escorts
him outside of the room.
She's like, now's not the time, Michael. She says Michael a lot.
Anyway, so he's played by a little person and was initially...
It's an actual little person
portraying
a 12-year-old child.
Yeah. And
that is not an exaggeration.
And he was cast initially in these horror films because he actually resembled Dario Argento.
You know what? He does. He has the haircut, which is funny because the haircut...
Dario Argento famously an understudy of Lucio Fulci.
The thing is, I just realized that Dario Argento and Michael have the same haircut. Or no, well, the inverse. They have the same haircut as Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men. That's the same haircut.
Yeah, it is.
It's the same haircut.
It is.
So there's like a weird, menacing sort of...
There's a type of haircut you have if you want to be a horror master.
Or if you want to just be some... If you want to make someone uncomfortable, you just get the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's ultimately about breaking the ice. So the worse your haircut is, the better the icebreaker, I think, is what I learned from Burial.
Okay.
Burial.
Okay, it's from Burial Ground. And so the scene that happens after that sort of points towards their relationship maybe not being completely above board is that his mother's trying to comfort him after he's been sort of scandalized that she's having sex with his stepfather. That's not his father.
It's a stepfather.
Is that he starts sort of like leaning on her and making out with her, which that part is fine. But it's when he starts fondling her that
this is great. This is great radio, by the way.
What? I mean, it's the movie we're talking about. I can't not talk about it.
I mean, that's fine.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so it's that scene that she puts a stop to it and it upsets her and it sends him across the house to go hang out with the other couple.
Sure, yeah.
Which have already start to feel the sort of have been thrown into the plot of the Etruscan zombies.
What are your thoughts on Etruscan zombies, Christopher?
Is how Mitzi runs radio shows. Have you ever considered asking a more specific question?
No.
I mean, if you're going to have to deal with zombies, I feel like Etruscan zombies are top tier.
Yeah.
We've all seen La Chimera, right?
Oh, my God.
La Chimera is incredible.
So I really wanted to talk about La Chimera because I think that this film could be shown in like a series with it because there's...
There is, you're right. There is a kind of an incestual undertone in La Chimera.
Absolutely.
Well, and there's the other way to interpret this film is that the Romans have invaded their turf.
Sure.
And the zombies are the Etruscan terrorist organization that attacks them in their house to try and reclaim their land.
Yeah. Not, not, that's not a stupid
super departure from some of the, that's not an enormous departure from some of the subjectual themes of La Chimera.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, they're haunted by this.
There is an other world. Yeah, because there's a scene in the train where he's confronted. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That are zombies. Yeah, and that, like, well, yeah. Yeah, they're ghosts.
Well, the ghost, I mean, the ghost is the cousin of the zombie in terms of the supernatural.
And just for anyone out here who doesn't know what we're talking about, La Chimera came out in 2023. We saw it in 2024.
Oh, it's incredible.
10 out of 10. Alice Rohrwacher.
Josh.
Collins.
Hot.
So hot.
Yeah, 100% wood. 100% wood.
Yeah,
oh,
then
the
so
Challengers.
Yeah, yeah.
Challengers, he just looks...
Well, to be fair...
You know, I love Challengers.
Me too.
To be fair...
But he's mid in there. He's,
yeah, no, but it's not...
The only reason the movie's good.
It's not fair. He's a grave robber in La Chimera, which is... The,
like, automatically more interesting.
He gets, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark bumps you, like, 10 points, you know? And then...
The recording cast in Chimera is phenomenal.
So good. Isabella Rossellini.
But... For the audience out there, Alice Rohrwacher, if you did like La Chimera, you haven't seen it, see it. Also, she made another Etruscan movie called The Wonder.
Okay.
And it's about a family that lives in Tuscany and participates in a game show, and they're beekeepers. It's a very strange film.
Beekeeper?
An Etruscan game show.
Have you seen The Beekeeper with Jason Statham?
No, but it's been advertised.
It's fucking fantastic.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's really good.
We saw the follow-up, Working Man, which seems to have been written by AI.
It's probably the worst movie. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
I haven't seen a movie with him since I saw Crank.
First of all, let me tell you. Yeah. Are you talking about Crank or Crank 2?
Crank 2, High Voltage.
Okay. 17 years ago. Here's the thing. Is Crank 2, and I know
Crank
I'm
pro. Crank 2, High Voltage.
Yeah.
Crank 2, High Voltage, I shit you not, is one of the greatest sequels in the history of cinema. It's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. It is low-key a fucking art film. I don't understand why it's not discussed more in, like, cinematic, like, it really is. It's way ahead of its time. It's a brilliant film. It really is. It's like a brief history of cinema up until that point, just all the things that it covers, but, like, the trash cinema, not like the high arts. Like, you have anime, you have animation. You have to watch it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Brilliant.
There's like a kaiju scene, like a Godzilla type scene.
It's
kaiju.
What? Wow, we are going off the
rails. Kaiju.
Kaiju is Japanese monster movies.
I know, yeah, I know.
Not the.
Yeah. Crank 2,
High Voltage.
Anyway, speaking of people that continue to make great films, but the guy who did Burial Ground, I actually don't think is the kind of standout sort of creator of this movie. Like, we already talked about the special effects guy, by far is like the leading force of this film.
We love him.
But it's not Andrea Bianchi, the writer. I was looking up some of his past work, and he did. Have you ever seen the Australian horror film Patrick? I know you have.
The dead guy, the guy who was in the coma. It's fucking fantastic.
He did the sequel to Patrick. Patrick still lives. We have to find it.
Okay. Patrick is about, it's a horror movie about a guy who's in a coma.
It's a great movie.
It's about a guy in a coma who basically telepathically, like, causes carnage from the bed. It's crazy. It's like the autopsy of Jane Doe, but, like, worse.
But this is something I was thinking about, who we actually kind of never talk about in our shows. But this guy, I looked up his work, and he's just written some amazing shit. Like, check this out. Like, a lot of it is, like, sword and sandal stuff.
Uh-huh.
But Bronx Executioner, which is the follow-up to 1990, The Bronx Warriors.
Fantastic film.
Amazing movie with an amazing drum solo. Demonia, which is a Lucio Fulci, Voices from Beyond.
We have that.
He wrote all these films.
1999, The Bronx Warriors. It's basically like The Warriors, but with like a guy playing drums periodically throughout. Like, it doesn't make any sense. This is a guy just like on.
It's like a live score.
It's like, but literally, it's like gangsters doing stuff in the future. But then they all of a sudden be the guy just doing a drum solo.
Intertextual live score. Let's play it. Do you want to play it?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've been talking for a while. I think it's music time.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 1981 film Burial Ground.
That's the overarching.
Yeah, so every week we watch a movie. Thanks for asking. Every week we watch a movie Last week we watched Burial Ground, and we watched it in our studio, our basement studio. And it's always on VHS. And then once a month, we screen them at the Four Star Theater in San Francisco.
You guys live in the Bay?
Yeah, we live in the Bay. Yeah, that's why we like horror movies. I don't think it's like a LA thing, really.
I don't know. I don't know. I lived in the Bay for 7 years, and I probably watched four there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah. It's just, I think the farther you get from, I guess you guys have a big Italian community here.
I'm Italian.
Wow.
I carry my heart.
I really love it.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So we always are trying to, well, we became friends with the guys out. Yeah, this is Mitsuo Okubari.
Look at the mustache. I mean, the mustache says everything you need to know.
Mitsu is 50 different things, as he would say.
I hear you're so deep to debate with horror.
Really?
No.
Well, you're Hitchcock.
I mean, the Zodiac Killer.
Zodiac Killer.
Yeah. What about the...
Well, that's...
Which one it came out, I was like, I don't care about that.
I like the...
It's better on second viewing.
The Polanski film where Jack the Ripper travels in H.G. Wells' time machine and lands in 1970s San Francisco.
That movie is fucking insane. That's one of Sarah's favorite movies.
I love that movie.
Tomorrow in Time? No, Something in Time?
It's Something in Time.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. Ready?
I'll look it up on the break. Okay, we're going to play some music.
All right, fuck it. I can't find that, so I'm just going to play this instead.
Unbelievable, dude. This is like you could have prepared for like a minute for this.
Bye.
Hello, welcome back. Basement Radio.
Basement Radio.
Every week. Oh, sorry.
Go.
Every week we watch a VHS tape from our collection. Mitsu usually brings about 15 different beverages that he piles up on top of the table right near our switchboard.
Yeah, we got to keep it real.
And then we talk about them on the radio. If you want to come,
we talk about the movie, not the drinks.
We talk about the beverages. If you want to come, if you happen to be in the Bay and you want to come to one of our screenings, hit us up at Basement VHS on Instagram. Also, we have tables here. We're over here in room K.
We're in the K room, folks.
People are hissing outside. And I thought it'd be fun as we talk a little bit about like what actors the public looks like.
Yeah, we have there's a whole lot of different folks.
Yeah, this guy on the floor here kind of looks like a young Penn Badgley, like a OC era.
Yeah, yeah.
Penn Badgley.
Penn Badgley on the OC? Was he on the OC? I don't think he was on the OC.
Oh, sorry, Gossip Girl. That's what I meant.
I've never seen Gossip Girl before.
He is the Gossip Girl. Spoilers.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Oh, my God. Well,
yeah,
thanks
anyway,
a lot,
he's on that
people.
Show, You. No. That's a Veronica Mars.
I would like to see a Veronica Mars Gossip Girl crossover. That'd be fantastic.
No, Kristen Bell is the voice of Gossip Girl.
Oh, is it
what
really?
Else do you got?
I've never seen Gossip Girl before. Really, I hear it's good.
Is it one and two?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a new one?
Yeah, but I...
I hear it's really bad.
What else do we got? I'm not really seeing any other lookalikes, so I guess we'll move on from this segment. But
we don't see any.
Penn Badgley, thanks for coming to the LAR.
We really appreciate it. Thank you for coming.
By the way, okay. So I wasn't done with my
analysis.
Jovial celebration of the special effects artist from Burial Ground.
Okay,
From Burial Ground. So early in his career, he worked with Sergio Leone and Fellini.
All right.
And then he worked on his breakthrough into horror was working as a special effects assistant on Lucio Fulci's Zombie 2.
Yeah.
And then he worked on three other Fulci movies, one of which, City of the Living Dead, The Beyond, and House by the Cemetery.
That is the Apocalypse Trilogy, folks, for the uninitiated.
But you gotta, I don't know. I wanted to hear your opinion about this, but I think The Beyond is maybe like one of my favorite effects.
Well, The
movies.
Beyond is the best Lucio Fulci film.
Yeah.
Straight up.
It takes place in New Orleans. Have you seen The Beyond? So what a crazy
movie.
It's
fucking fantastic. It's the best one. However, I think my personal favorite is probably The New York Ripper.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Only because it is probably one of the meanest films you will ever see in your entire life.
And you're just a mean person.
I'm a mean-spirited person. Because it's not like other films that are just mean. Usually other films that are mean, there's like an actual like ideology. There's a philosophy. There's a plot. The New York Ripper is just sheer nihilistic rage.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of appreciate it because for that very reason. I'm not a mean-spirited person per se, but I just love the sort of honesty and just in its approach of trying to tell this fucked up story.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Can we say the F word on this show? I don't remember.
It's the internet. All right. FCC regulation here.
I put the F in the FCC, folks. Let's go.
First time that joke's ever been made. one last little fun thing. He was the designer of the mask used in the film The Man in the Iron Mask.
God, yes. Was he the mask?
No, he... You can't... See, this is the problem. You can't bring Mitsu things while he's like a one-track mind.
You were you
trap pony?
No. You can't be a one track mind, one trick pony. That's not how it works.
I think that you are the first person to fall into that boat.
Yeah, is what that means.
Yeah. Anyway, so that he made the mask and the Man in the Iron Mask.
We're day drinking here, folks. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
Why do I have to carry on? Do something.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Look at this.
All right. Great. A goodie bag.
Big shout out to purchases. Oh, you got a Jeff. Ooh. We got a Jeff Chung print in the house. We love Jeff Chung.
So Burial Ground, thumbs up. Highly recommend it. once again, part of our series, sometimes they run fast, where we're looking at the different speeds of running in zombie films.
And what are the other movies we're going to be covering this
next,
month?
Next up, we're going to go full speed. We're kind of taking like a Goldilocks approach to this. So we went slow with Burial Ground, probably the slowest zombies I've seen in a movie.
Easily.
Okay. And then we're going ultra fast with the Danny Boyle film 28 Days Later.
We're 28 Days Later
fan. Which we thought we couldn't not do in this theme because 28 Years Later is coming out very soon.
So excited.
And so we wanted to give a little something to get excited about.
Sorry, I don't often get to interrupt a radio show. Yeah, I went to the Tribeca Film Festival screening of 28 Days Later when it came out. And wow. Danny Boyle and Cillian Murphy like gave a whole presentation after.
Amazing.
And I was such a fan of their work together in Sunshine.
Yeah,
and Sunshine had some of that same... like that scary pulse rhythm that, you know,
yeah,
kind of hits you with 28 Days Later. So I'm really excited about 28, whatever they're doing.
Years
now.
Later.
Years yeah. later. Because they had already done some sequels.
Nobody saw 28 Weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw
it. It was fine. It's good.
Yeah.
I think the opening scene is wonderful.
The opening scene in 28 Weeks Later is spectacular.
But 28 Months Later, they skipped out on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm really confused by that.
Well, I think it's because it literally has been 28 years.
It's almost, we're coming up on 28 years, but it's okay. Sunshine, big shout out to Sunshine.
Sunshine, actually a zombie movie, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think it's ghost, because I don't think he officially dies. He's presumed dead, but the presumption of death does not necessarily mean you're dead.
I think there's something that happens where he transcends physical sort of consciousness.
Still, I mean, like his.
But you're always really strict about.
I'm just saying. Things. I don't think he's. I don't think I want to. Like, I love the idea of Sunshine being interpreted as a zombie film. I just don't think it actually technically is a zombie film.
I think it's a space mummy film, right?
Oh, space
like,
mummy.
Once they open
good.
The box, then they're cursed, right?
I think that's more apropos. For
I like
sure.
that. So is Event Horizon a space mummy film?
I mean, there's a lot of Pandora boxes in space. Right?
Yeah, I would say Event Horizon and Sunshine, and of course Hellraiser,
yeah.
Four?
All the Hellraiser.
Ghost of Mars, for sure. Big shout out to Ghost of Mars. People don't talk about Ghost of Mars enough.
Underrated JC film.
Fuck
Jesus Christ, I mean.
Jesus Christ, our favorite director of all time, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we're wrapping up our show. If you ever want to... Oh, after 28 Days Later, we're going back to the middle where it's our Goldilocks, and we're screening that at the Four Star Theater on May
29th.
28th.
May 28th. We're screening...
At 7:30 p.m., which is...
Four Star Theater.
A very cute theater in San Francisco in the outer Richmond. And we are screening Return of the Living Dead.
We love Return of the Living Dead.
It's one of my favorite films.
Punk rock. You got punk culture, you got comedy, you got nudity, and you got zombies. What more could you want out of life? Those are the four essential things you need in life. Punk music, nudity, zombies, and comedy.
Do you want to take us out with some music?
Sure.
Which you haven't thought about up until this point.
Straight off the dome.
It's so weird that every time you know I'm going to ask the question and you never... just kind of project forward. Anyway, listen to us at radiovalencia.fm, Basement Radio, or if you're in San Francisco, come watch a movie. We'd love to have you. Thanks for having us, Dean Radio.
This has been Dollar Dean Radio.
from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got slit in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. And I salute you, brother. That his rage was just some goof, but Herbie sure gave Tony some bitches.